Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
You what, man? The musicians that played, to Al out there running the outside, all the volunteers, man, they make Easter what it is. And I have to give them props, man. All the volunteers that helped all three services and Al and his crew. And how'd you guys like that screen that we had up here? The tech team, they were here till 3:30 in the morning on Friday night just trying to hook that thing up. And I got to give them props. They did an amazing job. We are also taking donations if you guys want to purchase that screen. So if anybody wants to donate, you can contact the church offices. But Easter was awesome. But God is alive. And so we're going to continue to celebrate that tonight. Amen? God put it on my heart to say something before we get into tonight's sermon. Into tonight's sermon. And that is, if you text and drive, please don't. For two reasons. One, I may get behind you and you may cause the what was once a green light to be red before I get through it. Which happens quite frequently. I can't tell you how frustrating that is. How many people have ever been there where the light turns green and the person in front of you did not see the light turn green and therefore you wait another turn? How many people? This is what I do when that happens. I try to catch up to them once I'm through the green light. And then I pull to the side. I get to the side of them so they can see me do this. This is called the head shake of disapproval. Okay? But I felt like that I needed to say that tonight because you could be saving your life or the life of someone else, and I know how easy it is. Aren't we wired that way? As soon as we get a text, right, we're like, I have to answer this immediately. And the person, what's crazy, the person that sends the text, they're mad if they don't get an immediate response. Like, they don't know if you're in a meeting, you could be in the shower or the bathroom or driving. And so we feel like, oh man, I have to respond to this right now, or that person's gonna get mad, they're gonna defriend me on Facebook or Snapchat or whatever it is that you're into. But I just wanna share that with you. If you text when you're not driving, please. Honestly, it could save your life or the life of someone else. So I just felt like I needed to share that. Maybe that speaks to one of you guys. I'm not sure. But let me pray before I say anything else. That way I don't say anything that Shane would say, okay? God Almighty, I know that you're in this place because, one, we prayed you in this place, and I want to walk in the faith of knowing that what your word says, where two or more are gathered, you are in our midst. And so I thank you for being here. Now, God, I ask that you would unleash a spirit of faith in these people, that they would believe that they are going to hear from you, God, tonight, in whatever circumstances they're going through, whatever things that they got going on in their life or they're worried about or stressed about. I pray, God, that you would unleash your faith into them, God, so they would believe that you know what's best and you're going to come through for them. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. So now that we're all filled up with faith, we're going to continue in 1 Peter. We're going through the book of 1 Peter. Pastor Ron's been taking you through that book, and it's actually a really amazing book. We talked about the last time I was up here, Peter. He is a person that's probably most like us that we can relate to in the Bible. Not that I'm saying all of you are heathen sinners that have chopped someone's ear off, but man, we talked about how he just... He, in every way you could mess up, Peter messed up. And here he is writing a book of the Bible, and so he's very relatable. But we are going to start in verse 4. I know Pastor Ron touched on these two verses, 4 and 5, last week, but I want to read these because it goes into the verses we're going to touch tonight. So if you have your Bible, that's this thing right here, right? Some of you guys have different ones. You can open them up to 1 Peter chapter 2. If you have a notebook or your smartphone or tablet, or maybe you have a piece of paper, you're old school. I like writing with a pen and paper. We're going to take notes. Let's go ahead and start reading in verse 4. And it says, "In coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Say possession. That you may proclaim the, excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Tonight's message I entitled The Whole Package. Say the whole package. The whole package. See, you single girls, you single guys out there, I remember when I first started going to church, there was this kind of idea that you would write down this list of what you wanted God to give you in a spouse. How many people know about the list? Anybody young enough in here or have heard about the list? Well, if you haven't heard about the list, I came across this in ancient readings, and it was passed on through generation to generation, that, you know, write down this list of the things that you want in your spouse. Now, ladies, your lists were always very more particular and longer than the gentleman's list. See, you ladies, the list is, I want him to be 6'4", dark and handsome, brown eyes, eyebrows, but not too bushy eyebrows. I want him medium-sized eyebrows, chiseled chin, six-pack, right? He's got to love the Lord. That's probably the first one on the list. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't cuss. He doesn't do drugs. He loves his mom. He doesn't wear sandals with jeans. Men, sandals with jeans. That doesn't make sense. Guys, our list was, she's got to look good and smell good, and that's the end of the list. Because most of the time we're like, if she came through the church doors, we can convert her. That's it. You know what I'm saying? And we call this the whole package. You see a guy and the girls are talking. Does he have the whole package? And she's like, he's got the whole package. Prime example. You don't get the whole package, but I will say this. Ladies, you can hold on to that letter and that list all you want till the day you die. But when you meet the one that God has intended for you, guys or girls, the list just really goes out the window because God does the rest, amen? Because there may be things on the list, there may be things on the list that God knows that he doesn't have right now, but he will have right, because we're all a work in progress. But there is one person who has the entire package, and that's Jesus. Jesus has the entire package. And what we're going to talk about tonight is not necessarily what Peter is saying. See, there in Scripture, there is what's being said, and sometimes, I usually like to see what's being said and why it's being said. Why is Peter writing this to the people he's writing it to? Well, if you don't know, he's writing to a church that's newly, they're pretty new, and persecution of Christians isn't necessarily at its peak at this time, right? So you have a church that's experiencing persecution. I'm not saying that it's just been a day, but it hasn't been for very long. And so he's writing them and letting them know, he's encouraging them who they are in Christ and who Christ is to them. He wants to let them know, hey, Christ is the cornerstone, you're the bricks. Christ needs to be your foundation, the center of your foundation. In the midst of this, I was talking to Justin backstage. He's the tech department leader. He told me this, and it just blew my mind. Anybody ever tell you something, and you go like, And we were talking about what I was going to speak about here, and he said a cornerstone is especially important, not so much when things are good, but when storms happen. What your cornerstone is in the midst of a sunny day isn't really as important as what your cornerstone is in the midst of trials, tribulations, when the storm is at its fullest extent. And so here Peter. What Peter's saying, sometimes you just got to say it so it gets sunk into your brain, is telling them that this is important. This is who you are. Remember who you are. Remember who Christ is. No matter what they're saying to you, no matter if they're coming after your life, no matter if they're calling you names, no matter if they're saying you're not righteous enough or you're not doing it correctly, remember who you are and remember who that cornerstone is. He's saying to you who believe, God will not disappoint. But for those who disbelieve, they're going to continue to stumble. They're going to continue to be offended over what you believe. They're going to continue to give you trouble because they don't believe what you believe. What is the first thing that Peter does? Right in these passages, he wants to remind them, and to remind them, he takes them back to the Word of God. He quotes Isaiah. This is kind of where my first point comes in. See, in the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulations, whether you are speaking to yourself or whether you're speaking to another person, the first line of offense should be what? Remembering what the Word of God says. He's telling them, you're a stone, you're important, you're this brick. This is why it has to line up the way it does. You're this priesthood made to serve God and give these spiritual offerings of worship. You were created for this. If you don't believe me, let's go back to Isaiah. And so he quotes Isaiah. This was prophesied years ago. And so it was almost as if he goes back to this Old Testament scripture to build their faith, saying, if you don't believe me, believe what it said years ago. And so for a moment, we're going to hit on this. What do you believe about the Bible? See, I would say most of us in here, we would say that the Bible is tried and true, cover to cover. It is infallible. It is flawless. It is the true Word of God. How many people would say this? But do our actions line up with what we say we believe? So this is what I want to do. I'm going to go through a few different things, and I want you to grade yourself. In your mind, I want you to go, 10 being the highest, yes, I 100% stand true behind this belief. I believe the Word all the time. I can tell you I went through this, and I stayed faithful. Or 1, and nobody's going to know this grade but you and God, man, I don't know if I really believe that or not. So the first PowerPoint is, do you believe in God's grace and mercy? Do you believe in God's grace and mercy? It's pretty simple. It's simple to say if you're not in need of grace and mercy. You go like, yeah, I totally believe in God's grace and mercy. I can get around that. But when you're the one failing, but when you're the one where someone's done something to offend you, does that level of belief in God's how good and how immeasurable God's grace and mercy, does that waver? Does it waver in our lives? There is a difference between grace and mercy, and some of you scholars out there may know, but for those of us that do not know in here, let's go through them. The definition of grace is to get something you do not deserve, unmerited favor. My son, we're trying to teach him right now that when you whine, you don't get what you want. All of a sudden, out of all the words in the whole English dictionary in the world that he's learned is ice cream. Ice cream. Ice cream. Ice cream. And we got one of those fridges that have the little handle just at the perfect height for him to pull out. And we're trying to teach him because even if he's eaten 5 seconds before a full meal and we eat after him, he's ready to eat. He's a man. If he's had his ice cream, we get our ice cream afterwards. He's like, ice cream, ice cream. And we're like, son, you just had a full bowl of ice cream. A teenager shouldn't have eaten that much ice cream. You already had some. And so you know how kids do, and they throw themselves on the floor, weightless. Like a dead fish. And he's all the while looking in your eyes, like if I changed my mind mid-flop, he'd be like, oh, really? We're good? And so I'm trying to teach him, if you whine, you don't get what you want. But this idea of grace is just like, man, even though you're whining, even though you're throwing a fit right now, here's another bowl of ice cream. Here you go, son. Have a good tummy ache. And how many times in our lives has God extended grace to us? Even when we've thrown a fit. But I love him, Lord. I want him. I do. God, I want that house so bad. Lord. I don't know what you guys want. I end there. That's where I end. Mercy is this. You do not get the punishment you deserve. Compassion. Woo! I'm okay with grace. I'm all right with grace. Mercy, on the other hand, I struggle with mercy immensely. So, it was probably a year ago now. My wife and I, you go to AT&T and they get you. Those cell phone, sorry if you work at a cell phone place in here. You just get us, man. Woo! Hook, line, and sinker, you know what I'm saying? So we go in. I can't upgrade on time. You know, I got the iPhone 5, the cracked screen version, so I'm a little behind in times. But we go in, we're pretty stoked. The iPhone 6 is out at this time. We've had iPhone 4Ss, but we're gonna get the iPhone 5, not even the 5, the 5S. So I'm walking in like a big baller, man. I'm ready to go. I'm getting this upgrade, and my wife and I get this upgrade. Pretty stoked, we go home. That Sunday night, I had a prayer night at my house for the college group. We would meet every Sunday night at my house to pray. It's awesome, amazing, some of the best prayer sessions of my entire life. And then after that particular night, in our house, Krista goes, I can't find my phone. And I'm like, what do you mean you can't find your phone? Ladies, you lose your phones constantly. Seriously. The guys are like, yep. Yep, I have a flip phone just on standby if she ever loses it, because that's what you deserve if you lose your phone. You deserve a dinosaur. I'm still looking on eBay for the big ones that are like this, that are super embarrassing, the ones that look like giant walkie-talkies, just so to get the point across. Don't lose your phone. Put it on a little string, tie it to your waist. But she said, oh, my phone's gone. I'm like, oh, would you just look around? And she's like, oh, yes, Shane, I looked. So we looked, scoured the house, and man, I thought of every possibility. I looked outside just in case the dogs like magically made it through the glass door and took it outside, and we couldn't find it. And I didn't want to believe that someone came in my house that was, part of the college group, that they would steal it. And so I'm going like, oh my gosh. So I start getting mad, right? Because we just got this phone. I start calling people, not like going, it wasn't like an interrogation. Hey! I call people and I do the, hey, so prayer was good. Did you happen to see my wife's phone, No avail. And so I'm stewing over this. At this point, you're going like, who could it be? Who could it be? I'm Sherlock Holman in my head. I'm just like going all through the evidence. I'm taking fingerprints off the table. Where was the last, what was the last place you saw the cell phone? Where were the culprits around it? Just gathering up this evidence. And I'm stewing and stewing and stewing over this for a couple days. And then it's just like God's going, how much have I graced you out and given you mercy for? See, that whole parable that Jesus talks about, the king, right, and the unrighteous slave or servant, and the king calls him in. He goes, I'm going to throw you in jail. You owe me. You owe me a lot. And you need to pay your dues. And the servant goes, please, 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 please don't. Please, I have a family, I have children, and I'm working, and I will pay it off. I promise you, I'll pay it off. And the king has mercy. He says, go, your debt is forgiven. So what does that guy do? He goes and he finds his slave that owes him not even half of what he owed the king. And he goes, you little stinker. He said that. Write that down. You stinker. The guy's all stinker. You owe me. And he throws him in jail. And someone goes and tells the king of this merciless slave that went out and threw his slave in jail. And the king goes, man, you wicked, wicked person. I forgave you so much. And you couldn't even do that. Now you're going to go and your family until every last cent that you owe me is paid. And I think of that anytime someone's done something to me. See, can I tell you, I can talk about how I believe in God's grace. I believe his grace is sufficient, that he has mercy. I'm all for that part of the Bible until I start getting involved and it starts happening in this area right here. Some of us are on the grace side of it. Man, I get it. Can I tell you, if God can use me, he can use you. I'm no different than you. But a lot of us struggle with sin. It's a struggle. How many people know the struggle's real? There's all kinds of different sins. All kinds. The struggle is real. You know, with these testimonies that were up here on Sunday, you know, it choked me up so bad. You want to know why it choked me up so bad? It didn't choke me up so bad that, you know, this person was, you know, they had this story that was so impactful. It was the fact that I see these people walking in the grace of God. They're walking in his grace. Do you believe 100% in the grace and mercy of God? Do you apply that to your life? Why is this important, Shane? Why is this important if I believe this fully? Because here's the problem. If you don't believe fully in the grace and mercy of God, you will find yourself frozen and stuck in one spot. See, these people up here, Tony comes out here holding this sign. I'm going like, that bro right there isn't dragging his feet going, God, how can you love a person like me? I don't know how, blah, 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 blah. He's walking in the grace of God, not prideful, but in humility, walking forward, doing God's work. This lady that says that her dad killed her mom and her unborn brother, and turns around and says, now I walk in that grace. I've forgiven him. Notice on the other side of that cardboard testimony didn't say, I'm working on accepting that mercy or grace from God, or I'm working on giving that grace and that mercy away. It said, no, I've got it. I've got a hold of it. I believe it. And what does this verse say in 1 Peter chapter 2? It says, those who believe in God will not be disappointed. Some of you may be walking around disappointed because you don't fully believe and walk in the grace and the mercy of God. I'm telling you, I should not be up here, but God has given me grace and he has withheld his punishment when I deserved it. Here's some verses to chew on. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of what? Grace. So that we may receive what? Mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. Ephesians 2:4-9. But God, being rich in what? Mercy. He's rich in it. He's rich. He's rich in mercy. His bank account's got 50,000 zeros of mercy. Because his great love with which he loved us. Are you understanding? Some of you may struggle that God can love a sinner like you, and that God can use a sinner like you, and you feel like I'm going four steps back and two steps forward every single week, every single day. His mercy, he is rich. We got the rich of the rich. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, even when you were full of sin, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Ow! And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You gotta believe. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift, the free gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. 1 John 1:9 says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lamentations 3:22-23 says this, one of my favorite verses: the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Another word for those compassions is mercy. His mercy is new every morning, and his love never fails. Can I get an amen? Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? Died for us. I'm not texting or calling. I have an illustration on my phone. People use those iPad things. I'm old school. The iPhone 5S crack screen's the best. Years after the death of President Calvin Coolidge, this story came to light. In the early days of his presidency, Coolidge awoke one morning in his hotel room to find a cat burglar. We don't call them that anymore. We just call them criminals, right? We're all criminals. Don't take offense. I stole stuff from Vaughn's and all the kinds of liquor stores back in the day too, so I'm with you. I mean, I'm saved by grace, but I don't know about you. We'll give you an opportunity to be saved by grace later on. Cat burglar going through his pockets, Coolidge spoke up, asking the burglar not to take his watch chain because it contained an engraved charm he wanted to keep. Coolidge then engaged the thief in quiet conversation and discovered he was a college student who had no money to pay his hotel bill or buy a ticket back to campus. Coolidge counted 32 out of his wallet, which he had also persuaded the dazed young man to give back, declared it to be a loan, and advised the young man to leave the way he had come so as to avoid the Secret Service. And yes, the loan was paid back. A mother once approached Napoleon, seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice, and justice demanded death. "But I don't ask for justice," the mother explained. "I plead for mercy." "But your son does not deserve mercy," Napoleon replied. "Sir," the woman cried, "it would not be mercy if he deserved it, and mercy is all I ask for." "Well then," the emperor said, "I will have mercy." And he spared the woman's son. Do you believe in the amazing grace and mercy of God fully? You will not be disappointed if you do. Second, PowerPoint. Do you believe God is involved? Do you believe that God is fully involved in your life? This was a big struggle for me. Especially because I was raised in church by my grandparents, Baptist Calvary Bible Church off of Manor. You know, I went, they sang hymns, I fell asleep. It was just like that, okay? Every Sunday, I did the Awanas with the vests, all that stuff. I couldn't tell you probably a lot of things that I learned, because once I could make a decision of my own, I decided to go my separate way. But I always knew that there was a God. But I thought God was this person that was in the sky and he just created us to destroy ourselves, because at that time the decisions that I was making were destroying my life. And I thought God just loved to get a kick out of watching us suffer here on earth. And I did not believe. So when I became a Christian, it was hard for me in my mind to have this belief that, okay, I get it. Jesus died for everyone, right? We're all in this big building. Jesus is like, I'm dying for everyone. And it was hard for me to go like, Jesus knows Shane Elliott. Jesus knows Shane Elliott's sins. He knows Shane Elliott's character. He knows what makes him tick. He knows what makes him laugh. He knows what makes him angry. He knows what he wants Shane Elliott to be. And I get that special attention from my God. It was hard for me to grasp onto that. Sometimes I even felt like, oh God, you gotta be tired of hearing me right now. Anybody like that? You gotta be tired of hearing from me right now. Get back to me when you can. And that's false theology. So right now, I want you to rebuke those thoughts in Jesus' name. If you think that you are not important, that God's not involved in your life personally, then you tell yourself that that's wrong. You tell the devil to get away because it's a lie from the devil. This is what the definition of involved means, okay? This is the definition of involved. Connected or concerned with someone or something, typically on an emotional and personal level. See, I got the whole, when I gave my life to God here in Pastor Ron talk, I got, okay, God created us, but I really started grasping on by hearing his God stories like, oh crap, like God's working in this guy's life. Like this just happened a week ago? Or that really happened to you? Like God moved like that? Because the way I was taught in the Baptist church was, you know, God's God and we're down here. You know what I mean? We're living life and we try not to make them mad or we're going to hell. Like that was my theology, right? How many people used to think like that? Or maybe you think like that now. But hearing his God stories, I'm going like, okay, this is very interesting. God wants to be involved with me. And so I remember we started a Bible study. And it was on Thursday nights, and there was eight of us, there was a few of us. Man, we hadn't been Christians very long, but we took what Pastor Ron had talked about in his God stories, and we tried to put them into practice. And so one night we laid on our faces in my house, or our house that we rented up on the bluffs, and we were praying, okay, God, like, where do you want us to go tonight? We want to do this faith walk stuff. And one person got, oh man, I'm seeing this vision of surgery, right? Okay, I pictured surgery. And this other person was like, I picture this Red Cross. And another person was like, oh, I pictured hospital, and we're like, okay, and it was right around the corner from Memorial Hospital, so we're like, let's go, and so we went. Eight dirty, well, we didn't know we were clean at that point. In our minds, we're like, I don't even know what we're doing, but let's go. And before we left, I prayed, God, please, please show us if we're doing the right thing. Please just tell us if we're doing the right thing. So we go to the hospital, and we get just turned down by everybody. You guys are here to pray for people, go down to the lobby. So we all end up in the lobby, discouraged. No, nothing happened. And all of a sudden, this lady walks out of the chapel right there, and she stops. And we have like this awkward, like, are you looking at me? you looking at me? And she goes, well, what are you doing here? And we go, I remember looking at, we're gonna really say this? God told us, put it on our heart to come here because we needed to pray for. And she goes, ah, yeah, yeah. She starts freaking out and she goes, honey, these are the people we prayed for. And I'm like, oh, dude. Man, I did a lot of shrooms before I was saved, but there's nothing like that. You know what I mean? You know, I'm seeing holler, grace of Jesus, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. And so we have this thing, and she's like, you need to go pray for this person. So we're going up to the different floors, and we're getting in the elevators, and I'm just like, whoa, this is tight. And then this lady on a cane, she's walking over. I gotta watch my time. Man. Oh, the clock. And this lady's coming over, and I'm like, oh man, okay, we're gonna stop. She wants the elevator. And she goes, I don't know. God told me, he nudged me twice. I know it was him. He wants me to let you guys know that you're doing the right thing. You're on the right track. And the doors closed. And I was like, this is totally real. This is it. And so I became a Jesus junkie all after that. I tell you this, it didn't even stop there. And so I'm like, okay. And mind you, I'm not dotting my T's and crossing my I's as a Christian at this point. I'm just trying to put into practice and walk. I'm learning to love Jesus. I don't know. I'm just going to go out and do what they're telling me to do. And so I remember I was struggling financially. I had this red Nissan. It didn't even work. I had stolen tags on it. And I'm telling you, bro, you guys are like, you'd never believe old Shane. And I bought them from my drug dealer. True story. You know what I'm saying? You got to get around. And I remember, I'm like, Lord, like, I got my work said, hey, we're going to send you to Ventura for a week to go help train the new employees over there. I'm like, awesome. I have no way to get there. In my mind, I said that. I wasn't going to tell them that because I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to take a bus. But I go home, and I'm like, God, please, I really need this car. And when you know, my mom calls me the next day, and she goes, hey, you wouldn't want to take over payments on our car, would you? And I'm like, matter of fact, I would. And so that was that. And then 8 months later, I'm going like, God, my finances, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I can't help but to think about my bills all the time. And so I'm like, Lord. Can you please help me out with my bills? And so this is like probably 8 months to a year later, okay? And I'm at work in the back room doing inventory, and all of a sudden my mom calls me on the phone. She goes, hey, are you at work? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, why don't you come out to the parking lot? So I'm like, okay, cool, man. My mom's probably gonna yell at me for something, because that's all, never mind, that's a different story. And so I go out, and she's like, hey, we just want to give you the pink slip to the Honda. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, right on. So I was like, how much do I owe left on it? And she's like, nothing. And I was like, huh? I was like, how much do I owe? She's like, you're not getting it. We paid off the car. We're giving you the pink slip. It's yours now. And I was like, you are kidding me. And my boss, who wasn't a Christian at the time, I come in, and I tell her this whole story, and she's just dumbfounded. I'm like, this is real stuff, dude. I'm telling you, this stuff is out of control, right? Oh, I want to share so much more. Okay, so fast. Which one do I want to share? I got 4 minutes to share. Okay, check this out. So it's always been... I see you over there. It's always been, I've had a desire, I want to own my own house, right? You know, I'm 31 years old, so, you know, ever since I was like in my early 20s, I'm like, I want to own a house, okay? I want to own a house. And how many people know saving up for a house, struggle's real? You know what I'm saying? Some of you are saving right now, some of you stop saving because it's just impossible. Some of you already been there, you've accomplished it all. Can I say all things you can accomplish through Christ, okay? So check this out. I got 3 minutes to share this story, and then we're gonna pray, and you're gonna get out of here, and then maybe I'll be able to share what I had, you know, some other time. So when I got married, I had this goal, like, okay, now my wife, she's got income, we're gonna save for this house. My wife didn't really have this heart to save for a house, and so I'm just like, well, that's stupid. And just struggled for a whole year trying to save for this house, and then one day I prayed, God, please, 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 please. And her heart changed one day. And then wouldn't you know, God made it available for some finances to come in my life. And I'm like, whoa, this is cool. And so we're able to start saving. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. God, you're working big. And then all of a sudden, like in a month before we were like really wanted to go look, we were still just way off on trying to buy a house. My grandparents say, hey, why don't you come to breakfast with us? I'm like, okay, this is normal. We go to breakfast, you know, at least once a month. And so we go, and my grandparents, they say, we have an inheritance we want to give you. And I was like, shut up. And immediately in my mind, because don't we all, we hear those stories and we go like, this is going to be millions of dollars. I'm going to retire at 30. This is going to be great. It wasn't millions of dollars, so don't come knocking down my door, okay? But it was just enough for us to be able to put a down payment on our house. And so people go, oh man, you have a house. And I go like, yeah, God gave it to me. That's why I have one. But I want to share this with you, whether it's the smallest thing or the biggest thing, whether it's a trial, whether it's a desire of your heart, God is involved and he wants to be involved in every single decision and every single situation that you're in. Let me throw these verses up. I'm not going to even read them. I'm going to throw these verses out if you want to write them down. This is how God is involved in people's lives. Psalm 55, 22. 1 Peter 5, 7, Matthew 9, 35 through 36, and I'm not going to even say the rest because I'm out of time, but if you guys want to check my Facebook page by tomorrow morning, I'll have the rest of the verses, good stuff, on my Facebook page from this message. I'll put the rest of the verses on there for you guys to write down if you're interested, but let's go ahead and close in prayer. You guys cool with that? And that clock goes fast, man. That clock goes speedy fast. Never when you want it to. Always fast in the morning when your alarm's supposed to wake you up. Father God.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our